Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Back out in Lorain today at the International Festival here at Black River Landing. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you. Time to go to the hotline as we bring in the very first guest of today's show, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang The Book Radio joining us. Adam, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well, Andy. How are you guys doing?
We are doing really well. It's really, really hot out here today, but that's a lot better than being extraordinarily wet, which is what we were for about the last 3 or 4 months. So I want to dive in to some football and some baseball talk today. We will begin with some pigskin because I know a couple of weeks back you guys unleashed your preseason previews for all NFL teams. You specifically focused on the AFC North, and I want to dive into some teams that the Browns could have some trouble with this year. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that certainly lost a lot from a season ago, two huge skill position player losses in Antonio Brown and, of course, Le'Veon Bell, although I'm not sure if that's really considered a loss since he didn't play last year. But given all of that, I think the win-loss total being right around 9 might come off as a little surprising to some people.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, earlier in the offseason, it was 9 with some juice on the over. Now it's 9.5 with some juice on the under. You got to lay $125 to win 100 to take under 9.5. But, you know, this is a team that, sure, they lost Antonio Brown, and they didn't have Le'Veon Bell last year. But last season, they were plus 0.8 yards per play. So they played a little bit better than a 9-6-1 team. Probably from a yards per play standpoint, they were more like a 10-6, or maybe even an 11-5 team, depending on how much you factor yards per play into the equation. And also, too, last year, they were minus 11 in turnover margin. And a lot of times when you see those significant outliers, whether they're on the positive side or the negative side, they kind of come back to the pack a little bit, regress to the mean. So, you know, a Pittsburgh team that outgains its opponents per play by almost a full yard, a Pittsburgh team that has a better turnover margin, I think both of those things are possible here this year. I do think the Steelers still win the AFC North. I mean, I know that obviously that's not what most people around here want to hear, but the way that they've rebuilt that defense on the fly, how they've gotten younger, how they've gotten more pass rushers, and they pick up Devin Bush here in the draft as well, I'm really impressed with how they've been able to retool that side of the ball. We know Roethlisberger is going to do his thing and complain about being hurt and, you know, everything else that he does. But, you know, with some regression to the mean in the turnover margin department and with an easier schedule than the Browns have, Pittsburgh's my team to win the AFC North, as much as it pains me to say it.
And I'm sure it pains a lot of people to hear that, but, you know, you're paid to call it how you see it, though. And, you know, I think it's interesting with the Steelers also. We talk about the two big skill position guys they are losing, two of the best at their respective positions, but this is something that we have seen before. I mean, they lose good skill position players all the time, and without missing a beat, it always seems like somebody else just steps right in to fill the void.
Yeah, it does. It just and look, I mean, James Conner had over 1,500 yards of offense last year. So, you know, I mean, that's a guy who still performed very well. Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, really, there was kind of a torch passing last year from Antonio Brown to Juju Smith-Schuster. You really have to like that for the Steelers going forward. And, I mean, you know, when you get these teams that just draft and develop so well, and there are, you know, of course, there's another example in the AFC North with the Baltimore Ravens, you know, you always have to consider them dangerous. And I think Pittsburgh's just as dangerous as they have been in the past here for the upcoming season.
Let's transition now into another team that certainly could challenge the Browns a bit in the AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens are at least a little bit of a wild card. We got a glimpse last year of Lamar Jackson, and, you know, I think the Ravens felt so highly of him that they ended up dealing Joe Flacco to the Denver Broncos. Now, I think that's certainly a gamble, but based on the way that Jackson played last year, I think it was a gamble certainly worth taking, and that's a really, really interesting team moving forward. Where do you have these guys this year?
Yeah, Baltimore's an interesting case. Right now, their season win total at 8, the over minus $1.30, the under plus 110. So 130 to win 100 on the over here for this team. And it's really hard to have a pessimistic outlook for the Ravens because, as I mentioned, they draft and develop so well. You know, they just find guys that fit their system. They've been very, very good, very, very consistent for quite some time. The worry that I have is, does Lamar Jackson stay upright enough? I mean, this is a guy who took a ton of punishment last year from running the football, from getting hit. There's a lot of worries when you've got something like that. You know, sacked 16 times, ran the ball 147 times, averaged 17 carries per game. You know, there's just an attrition level at the NFL that you don't see in college. And Lamar Jackson could use that arm talent in college. Doesn't really work as well for him at the NFL level, I don't think. And also, too, I mean, look, credit John Harbaugh. You have to give John Harbaugh a ton of credit. And Marty Mornhinweg, too. I mean, these aren't, you know, new guys coming over from the college game. These are well-established professional coaches willing to change this offensive game plan around a guy who's essentially a run-first quarterback. And they had a lot of success with it last year, but once they faced the team for the second time, that was the Los Angeles Chargers in the playoffs, they got shut down. So I think as teams are better able to game plan for them, and as Lamar Jackson goes through the rigors of his first full season, I think Baltimore really falls off in the second half of the year. So I would have to look under with them. I think they'll look pretty, they'll probably look good against Miami and Arizona to start things off. But then the schedule gets a lot tougher. They face teams that they played in the second half of last year. I think this is a down year for the Ravens. I really do.
Going to be a lot of fun to see how things progress. We are just a couple of weeks away from the start of training camp. That's hard to believe. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's transition into some baseball now. I want to take a look at some games that you have picked out for today. And the Atlanta Braves are taking on the New York Mets. I know you like the Braves here. There's not a whole lot to like about the Mets right now. Between the tiff that Mickey Callaway and company have had with the New York media and the bullpen blowing up, there's just not a whole lot to like about the Mets right now.
No, there really isn't. And one of the things to like is, of course, tonight's starting pitcher, Jacob DeGrom. So I don't really make it a point to go against aces all that often, but you know, DeGrom is a guy that he's not on par with last season, and I wouldn't have expected him to be because last season was historically good. Regression from last year, not a big surprise, but you know, the Braves have the best offense in baseball here in the month of June. So they've done a lot of damage against a lot of different pitchers. If anybody has a chance against DeGrom, I would say it's probably the Atlanta Braves right now with the way that they're swinging it. But this is one of those cases where you can get Atlanta at plus money. They're plus 130 out there in the marketplace. If Mike Soroka can match Jacob DeGrom, or at least come pretty close to doing it, the idea of having an underdog Braves bullpen, which has been very good this season, against the dumpster fire that is the New York Mets bullpen, it's kind of attractive. So, you know, maybe I get lucky and the Braves do touch up DeGrom a little bit, but I also like the idea that we could get into the late innings of this game with it being a coin flip, and I've got Atlanta as a plus 130 underdog. So that was kind of my thought process with that. And also, too, you know, the Mets back in New York City. Now they're back in Queens for this series. Off the ugly blown save yesterday. A lot of questions to answer from the media. Not a great place to be when you're struggling with that relentless New York media. So I guess a lot of distractions for this Mets team, too. So I'll take Atlanta tonight as a pretty live underdog.
Atlanta and the Tribe, two of the hottest teams in baseball throughout the month of June, which comes to a close here in just a couple of days. And that leads us right into the Cleveland Indians. They take on the Baltimore Orioles tonight. And I know that you're a little iffy on what we're going to get from Mike Clevinger later on this evening. And as a result, you like Baltimore with a first five bet here.
Yeah, I think this one's worth a shot. I mean, this is one of those where, you know, it's going to lose more often than it wins. And the line implies that. Baltimore plus 170 underdog for the first five innings. That implies a 37% win probability. So you're going to lose this one more often than not. And it's an important betting concept to understand that when you feel like there's value in an underdog situation, like let's say I think Baltimore wins the first five innings 40% of the time. Well, that's higher than 37% of the time. So there could be some value in that scenario, and that's what I think we have tonight. You know, you've got Mike Clevinger. He's only made three starts this season overall, had that start on June 17th, sprained the ankle, kind of battled through it, but wasn't particularly sharp. How sharp is he going to be tonight? You know, really making a few rehab appearances and then that one start 11 days ago, the ankle could throw off his mechanics a little bit while he's still trying to find those. So I just think it's one of those things where the line is too high tonight for a guy like Clevinger, who probably isn't going to be all that polished, probably isn't going to be all that consistent with his release point and, you know, his feel for his secondary pitches. So the, you know, one bright spot for Baltimore this year has been tonight's starter, John Means. And he's also coming off the injured list, but I think that was more of a, you know, let's kind of protect his arm since he's going through the rigors of the season for the first time. Tough left-hander. A guy that induces a lot of weak contact. The Indians tend to have problems with those types of guys. So, again, I feel like there's some value here in a scenario where Baltimore's probably got a lead after five innings more often than the line would suggest.
taking a look at this Tribe team. Red hot here in the month of June. They have played extraordinarily well. Just some general observations from your behalf on what you think about Bobby Bradley in the early stages. He got out to a nice start, hits in his first two games, and now he's kind of leveled off here just a bit. But this was obviously a promotion that a lot of people thought was long overdue. They designated Leonis Martin for assignment last Saturday, making room for Bobby Bradley. What are your thoughts on Bradley so far?
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Bradley is what he is. You know, he's a guy that's going to run into a few mistakes here and there. He's going to muscle some balls up in the air and, you know, get some doubles and some home runs out of that. He's also going to strike out a lot. And you just kind of take the good with the bad. And, you know, so far, I mean, there's been a fair amount of bad, 7 strikeouts and 15 plate appearances, but a bit of good as well. You know, a couple of doubles. He's hit the ball hard a few times and hasn't had much to show for it. This is what it is with a guy that has a big swing and miss profile like Bradley does. And you know, that's probably why they were hesitant to bring him up. But in today's game with the, you know, obviously juiced baseball with home runs and, you know, such a fever pitch here this season, it's the kind of guy who's worth giving some plate appearances to. You know, it's sort of, you think back to guys like Russell Branyon or, you know, an Adam Dunn. I'm not saying Bobby Bradley is them because Bobby Bradley's walk rate isn't that high, but you know, they can do some damage when they run into pitches. And those three-run homers can be big-time game-changers for you. So I think in the context of the current Major League Baseball environment, guys like Bobby Bradley are worth giving a shot. And you know, look, there was nobody that really deserved those DH plate appearances more than he did, so why not?
Absolutely. Adam, as always, good stuff. We appreciate the time, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same again. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Coming your way today from the Lorain International Festival here at Black River Landing. Matt Douglas and I will be here until 6:35 tonight. We will return with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL.